Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
We're talking about generosity today, which is a really good thing. And I started thinking about what generosity looks like in my life. And I started pondering it, actually, because my husband Adam and I are going through this course, I guess you would call it. It's kind of like a class, but it's more intense than that. It's called Faith Walking, if you've heard of it. And it's this super intense, lots of things we're doing and people we're meeting with and stuff we're going through. And the point of it is that we're becoming aware of how we show up in the world and why we show up that way and why we operate and why we relate to people the way we do and how it comes from the way that we were formed even as kids and how our defensiveness comes out and anxiety, all these things in this intense deal we're going through, so that we can become aware and might move towards truer things and better things and the way that God actually made us to be in our lives. So I started thinking about generosity in this mix, and what I can basically tell you is that I thought I was a fairly generous person, thought I was fairly emotionally mature. Turns out I'm not. And one of the earliest exercises we did in this course started revealing this right away. And it shows how who we are on the outside does not always reflect who we truly are on the inside. And maybe you want to do this exercise with me. I'll explain it to you. So this is how it starts. And you can even like do this a little bit in your head right now. Imagine you had a piece of paper, and on the top of the page, the question was, who is my public self? And this is the person that we are in public, at restaurants, out to eat, in church, with your coworkers, in your neighborhood. How do we act in those places? How do you show up with people? What do you do when you're upset in public? We tend to have public behaviors that keep people from rejecting us. And so some of the things I wrote about how I show up in public are things like this. I tend to be friendly. I'm curious. I ask a lot of questions. I love creative things. I care a lot about people. I wrote that I was generous. You guys can probably imagine things about yourself. When I'm upset in public, I just am like, oh, it's fine. No problem at all. Can be gracious. Now imagine you have a second page, and at the top of the page, it asks, who is my private self? And this is the person that is like behind closed doors with the people who know you, your family, maybe your closest friends, in your home, in your family's home. The circle is smaller and way more familiar, and the filter that you have in public is gone. How are you in that space? How do you show up with your family? When you're upset, what comes out of you in your private self? This is some of the stuff that I wrote, and you can imagine for yourself too. In the private place, I'm a little more critical. I have a tendency to feel sorry for myself. I want to care for people, but I'm also afraid of disappointing them. I'm still curious. I still love creative things. And I have some fear of failure in the private place. So it gets a little bit more real. And then there's one more step in. This is your secret self. This is the place that only us and God really know about. It's the stuff that we really think, our true opinions, our true thoughts, how we really feel. And the filter is totally gone in your secret self. And what do I think about people in that place? How do I react when I'm upset in that place? Here's some of the things I wrote. I feel shame. I feel shame that I feel inadequate. I blame people for hurt in my life. I fear that people aren't pleased with me. I'm even more critical, and I'm definitely not generous. And I've started to see this painful truth of how on the outside, when I show up in public places like this even, like I'm chipper and happy and like super giving and conversation and people, but all the way down to my secret self, there's a huge gap there. And I'm trying to push that down and push it aside, but realizing that there's a big disconnect. And I say I want to be a certain person, but deep down, I am someone else. What I believe is different than what I'm trying to do. So in other words, I want to be generous because I think we all know we're following Jesus, we're supposed to be generous people. And I hear him loud and clear about it, but when I honestly explore who I really am, I find that generosity isn't that alive in my secret self. Now, how do I know this is true? I'll tell you guys a story that's going to embarrass me even more. So this past summer, we bought a tent, and in the first month of having it, two families asked to borrow it. How did I react to this publicly? Sure, of course, have a great trip. Of course you can borrow it. Enjoy, we're so glad, of course. I wanted to look generous. And I feel like the right thing to do is be generous, and I want people to like me, and so letting them use our stuff is a good way to get them to like me. But privately, after we step back into her house and I close the door, I turn to Adam, this is the private self, and I say, what if they break it? What if it gets ruined? I was really hoping we'd have this for years. What if it like comes back to us just crunched? See, a little more critical, a little untrusting, a little greedy. And then in my secret self, even away from Adam in my head, it got worse, as you can imagine. I began thinking thoughts like this. They don't need to borrow this. Why can't they use their own stuff? We just spent the money on this. It's not fair that they get to take it before we really get to use it. And can't people do the work to get their own stuff? And then I was pretty sure the tent would just come back, just destroyed. Even more critical, feeling somehow like a victim, deciding that people don't deserve things. So after seeing this and like having to do these homework assignments with this faith walking stuff, I just started asking myself, why am I so anxious about people borrowing my stuff? Why do I feel so resistant and uncomfortable when people are generous with me? What is this anxiety trying to tell me? And here's my confession to you. In my heart, I believe that if you want something, you have to earn it. And I believe that when people give me gifts, I have to somehow pay them back. And on top of that, I believe that you don't loan out your stuff because people will break it. Those are the truths in my secret self, you guys. And thinking this way has helped me stay safe in the world in a false way. To protect myself because I don't understand giving and receiving freely. This is the stuff formed in me. And maybe you guys know some of these thoughts and feelings too. When you think about how it feels for you to share your things in the world, maybe you feel some of the same snags that I do. And guess what? Turns out through some comical twist of fate, through just normal use and understandable accidents, our tent came back damaged. Kind of, I know, it's awesome. And it was just the thing that I feared in my secret self, isn't it? And I got it back and I basically was like, generosity sucks. But it was so awesome because it was the thing, like, why am I acting like this? Something has got to change inside of me. And so it's all funny and a little bit awkward, and I had to email our friends who borrowed it and told them, I'm gonna talk about this morning so you know that I love you and I'm not mad about the tent. But seeing this also, besides being funny and awkward, it also actually made me sad because I realized two more things. I've heard that generosity, real generosity, is really fun. And I am missing out on that because I feel anxious and critical when I give my stuff. And secondly, I not only struggle to receive things from people, but I struggle to receive things from God without earning it or paying it back. And that's no good. So I am curious about you guys. What is your relationship with giving like? What did it look like in your family growing up? What do you believe about it in your secret self? And can you see how it's connected to your life with God? Because he's not telling us to be generous just as a to-do list. He's saying, come look like me. I'm generous, and I'm generous with you. Maybe you can relate to some of this already. And I'm assuming that we all would love to be generous. We know, even if we don't get it, that it's a beautiful thing. And I'm wondering if today, you know, we have 20, 30 minutes here, and we're not all going to transform in that time, but maybe we can take an honest step forward wherever we are in this. And if anything, just be dazzled by how beautiful generosity is. So let's start there. Let's just talk about what it actually is. Practically, this is the function of a generous person. To be generous is to see everything that you have, everything that's been entrusted to you, time, money, gifts, abilities, skills, even the space in your home, and for all of those things to be wisely and freely invested into the good work God is doing in the world. All of it. Nothing gets to be put in the special shelf in the back. All open to what he would want to do with it. For a long time, I thought that generosity was just like an attribute or a quality of a person. Like we can have generosity, like you can have a hammer or Google or some other helpful tool. But whenever Jesus tells us we should live our lives in a certain way, and man, there is a lot of talk about giving and generosity in the Bible, he always would mean that we would become that kind of person. That we wouldn't have a new skill, that we wouldn't learn how to just imitate him and look a certain way on the outside, but that generosity would become part of our identity. In other words, we will do what we are. We can be naturally generous if we are generous people. And here's the thing. When Jesus says that what he does in Luke 6, he's in the middle of this long speech in Luke 6, and one of the things he says is, give and it will be given to you, among other commands like don't judge and love your enemies. He's not giving us a to-do list. He's not telling us to figure this out and just do it. Just start giving. But in fact, what he's doing is not trying to make us try harder and not doing the process that I described, giving begrudgingly or kind of lying on the outside. But he's doing something from the heart. If you get down to the bottom of his speech, he talks about how all the things he's commanding us come from the good stored up in our hearts. He's talking us down to the heart level. And I just had the scary moment of all my pages are out of order. Maybe you could sense it in the way I was stalling there. Give me 1 minute, would you? Okay. Oh, man. Okay, 4, 5, 6. All right, well, we'll just keep going, guys. All right, we'll just have to keep going. Okay. So, all right, well, let's keep talking about generosity. Okay, so one of the helpful things is, so there's a false generosity on the outside and a true generosity. And I thought it would be helpful to talk about what the markers of false generosity look like, because we tend to be people who look at Jesus' words and try to just do them. And we, depending on our personality types, we pull up our bootstraps and try to be generous people, or if you feel shame, you just feel like you're obligated to give so that people will like you, all these different things. Richard Foster wrote a really well-known book called Celebration of Discipline, and in it he describes what generosity looks like when we try to take control of it and accomplish it on our own. And see if you can ever recognize these sorts of feelings coming up in you. When we try to make generosity happen, we tend to spend a lot of energy and do a lot of planning. We try to figure out how to give to the right person and when to give it and who should best receive it. We believe the more impressive the giving opportunity is, the more attracted we are to it, because it feels good to be part of a big deal. We require some sort of reward, needing people to see what we've done, whether that's telling people through social media or a resume or getting some sort of public award or even just talking about it, or for the receivers to appreciate what we've done, receiving a thank you card, some sort of sign of gratitude or praise. We get critical if it doesn't turn out how we expected it to, if they don't spend the money how we wanted them to, or they don't do the thing that we hoped they would do with what we gave them. We pick and choose who deserves our generosity. Sometimes the high and powerful, because we gain some sort of advantage from that. Sometimes the low and defenseless. Even though it looks good and seems right, we do it because it makes us look humble and heroic. Sometimes false generosity looks like this. It just depends on our mood. If we feel warm and fuzzy and the right song's on the radio and the snow is falling just so, we feel inspired and we want to give. Other times, if we're stressed and sleep deprived and maybe got a cold or something else, we have no time for it. False generosity ends up being an activity we treat like going to the gym. We do our part and forget about it until we feel like it sort of wells up and we have to fill our giving quota again. Like maybe a holiday or an event, or you give to the homeless guy on the corner and then you feel like you're good for a month or two. This isn't what Jesus talked about when he said that we could freely give. In fact, like I said, if you get down to the bottom of Jesus' speech in Luke 6, he says we do it out of the goodness welled in our hearts. A good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored in our hearts. True generosity comes out of our hearts, our secret self. We can't jump through hoops. We can't perform. We can't appear a certain way when we're really not. Let's look at what true generosity is. I want you to listen to this list. Resist treating it as a to-do list. Resist trying to do that thing in your mind of like imagining you just performing this. Instead, I want you to look at this and just find its beauty. And also, this is the way that God is generous to us. Imagine God coming and treating you like this. Because he does. True generosity gives out of whispers and promptings from the divine deep inside. Energy is used, but the giving is never frantic, panicked, or scrambled. True generosity doesn't see a difference between big giving and little giving. All opportunities are welcomed, even more so the little ones, as they are often more important in the moment. True generosity feels content to give in secret and doesn't seek attention. The divine nod of approval is completely sufficient. True generosity is free of the need to scrutinize the results, delighting only in giving, and doing it freely to both enemies and friends, high and low. Serving in need comes above whether or not we feel like serving. True generosity is a lifestyle from ingrained patterns of living and springs spontaneously, readily available to meet human need. And lastly, true generosity builds community. It quietly heals and builds. It's beautiful. This stuff is not intuitive to us. We can't memorize this and perform it. But we can desire to be that kind of person. And we can learn, actually, to become that kind of person with Jesus. And so, from what I have been learning, this course that I've been talking about, there are a few ways and things that we can do with our energy and time so that something beautiful like generosity grows inside of us. And I've said it before, but it's kind of like small training steps you would take to be able to do something much bigger than you have the ability to do. Like taking a language class so that someday you could be fluent in Russian. Or cooking with someone who knows how to cook so well that someday you might be able to enter your kitchen and make a really great meal with no cookbook. Or like another great writer that I love, Anne Lamott wrote, "I cannot will myself into these qualities, so I have to pray for them more often if I want to be happy. And I have to create the habit just as I do with daily writing or flossing." She's right. So first this, some habit has to happen in our connection with God, specifically his care for us, his generosity towards us. Dallas Willard, another man that I love, he was a philosopher and theologian. Actually, we love him so much. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'm going to. We love that guy so much that if we had had a little boy, his middle name was going to be Willard. That's how much we love Dallas Willard, and we knew that that was a goofy name. But it was worth it to us. So this guy, he's one of my favorites, and he wrote, "It is love of God, admiration and confidence in his great goodness, and the regular experience of his care that free us from the burden of looking out for ourselves," which is what it means to not be generous, like, I gotta hoard my stuff. He continues, "What remarkable changes this introduces into our day-to-day life." And he says, "Personally, at the beginning of my day, often before rising, I commit my day to the Lord's care. Usually I do this while meditatively praying through the Lord's Prayer and possibly the 23rd Psalm as well. Then I meet everything that happens as sent or at least permitted by God. I meet it resting in his hand of care. This helps me do all things without grumbling or disputing, because I have already placed God in charge and am trusting him to manage them for all of my good. I no longer have to manage the weather, airplanes, or other people, or stuff for that matter." He's talking about regularly putting himself in a place with God's care and generosity over him. He could sense in his own life that God is taking care of him, which then changes how free we can be with our stuff. And when we know we are deeply cared for and taken care of, we can rest and move freely and give freely. So we'll know we'll be okay. And it becomes fun because we no longer have to worry about our stuff. We know we have plenty because we can see God is taking care of us. And I can imagine it's almost thrilling then when you see someone need something that you have the opportunity to give it. So remember that secret self we have, and remember the not so great things that I believe in there, beliefs that I'm inadequate, that I'm in trouble, that I'm a failure. I have a hard time letting God love me in that deep place because I think that he's disappointed with me I have a hard time receiving him because I don't think I've done enough good for him to deserve something from him. So I want to believe, like Dallas Willard, in the very core of who I am, that God sees me and he's taking care of me, and that he loves me, and that he's glad to do all those things, all those generous things to me, not just use me to be generous to others. So here's something simple that I've been doing. I love Lake Superior. I feel emotions just looking at the lake, the colors of it, the way it changes, how big it is. And I immediately sense God when I look at Lake Superior. And all this past summer, we've been going down to the lake at least 2 or 3 times a week to jump in, no matter the temperature of the water. And I started treating it as this discipline to connect with God. I would look at just the vastness of the lake, how big and powerful it is. And then I would literally jump into it. And I would imagine that the water was God's love, and it would completely surround me. And eventually I would lay back and let the water lift me up. And it would be like sometimes 5 seconds because it was so cold. Really cold. And sometimes I could lay there for a full minute, and my job was to only surrender to as much love as I could. And some days I didn't feel much, but some days I would just feel overwhelmed with God's goodness. I was letting him retrain as much as I could my heart that is so afraid that he's disappointed with me. So I bet there's something like that for you. And Dallas Willard meditated on the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 23. He's also a theologian, and he understood the deep meanings of those words, and maybe some of you guys love that too. But there are things in our lives, places that are everyday things that just connect us with God. You can do something similar in your world. What or where is a thing that you sense his love and presence immediately? It might be watching the birds. It might be a certain song. It doesn't even have to be a worship song. It might be watching the sunrise. It might be sitting in your favorite chair with a cup of coffee. It might be creating something with your hands, just being in that space, working on something, gardening, building. It might be looking into your child's eyes, and you can just sense God's love. Can you think of something that connects you to God like that? Something ordinary. This week, I want to gently challenge you to try to enter that space on purpose. And maybe just give yourself a time, 5 minutes. You can try staring in your child's eyes for 5 minutes. But maybe use a picture or something. And I can't jump into the lake anymore. I mean, I could, but I'm a wuss now because it's getting cold. But there's this spot I can go. Maybe you guys know the parking lot by the Copper Top Church. It's quiet. I sit in the grass outside the parking railings there, and I just look at the lake. And I let myself feel all the things I did when I was floating in the water. Go to your place this week. Try to do it for 5 minutes a day and rest in God's love as much as you can. Let him take care of you. Only the love of God frames and supports this kind of generosity that we're talking about. He creates it in us. We don't have to do that. And his love in us gives that generosity the right direction it needs to do the good it's meant to do in the world. In other words, generosity is most fundamentally about our hearts. And secondly, we can practice generosity in new ways that move us toward the true stuff. We don't have to keep faking it. It's the beautiful stuff. Can show us how we can thrive without being stingy or preoccupied with what we get out of it or afraid. Here's 3 ideas, and see if any of these like grab you and you might want to try them. Here's the first one. Do something this week that's kind and giving, but do it secretly. It might be a note of encouragement just signed your friend, or you might overhear through a conversation that someone at work needs some money. Do the work and get some cash, put it in an envelope, and leave it at their desk when they're not there, or leave it in the mailbox or whatever. Don't talk about it with anybody. And afterwards, think about how it felt to give with only God knowing about it. How did that feel? Second idea, identify a treasure in your life that you would have a really hard time giving up. Could be like coffee, it could be social media, it could be watching sports, it could be shopping online. It's just something that you know that you really love. Try giving up that thing or activity for a week. And every day that you feel that thing in you that craves that thing, stop and just like rest a little bit and think through your day and write down ways that you saw God taking care of you even when you didn't have the thing. And thirdly, I think this could be pretty fun. Carry a $20 bill on you all week and be ready to hand it over to anyone or anything that needs it. No questions asked. It could be a Girl Scout. It could be a homeless person. It could be the cashier at the grocery store selling those little, like, you know what I'm talking about, where you put your name on them and they stick them on the wall. Anybody who asks. Don't hesitate. Don't do the research to find out if you agree with them or if they deserve it or if you're behind what they're up to. Don't put any expectation on them how the money is used. Just give it to them. And then reflect on how it feels to be ready to give and not in charge of where it goes. So if any of those grab you, I think we should try them. I think it could be really fun. Okay. So to summarize, I'm a dingus at generosity. None of us can pretend, even though we try, but we're all invited to it. God has given us a lot, and while we experience his love, while we let him love us, we can practice small ways of living this out and becoming a person who, with all of our stuff, could, without holding back, give to any need around us at any time, and I think have fun doing it. And I'll end with a hopeful story about myself. Just this last week, our kids and I were having a sort of rushed lunch on our porch, and I say rushed because our daughter Celia just started preschool only 2 afternoons a week, but I'm finding out it's not in my wheelhouse to get her there on time and to be prepared. So we're like, eat lunch, hurry, stop looking at the neighbors, eat your lunch. And I was like watching the time and trying to get food in them when I see one of our neighbors walk up the sidewalk. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, I think he's going to want to talk. I don't want to. There's food flying. We're going to be late. And I was trying to figure out how to say hi without starting the conversation. So I'm thinking through all of this, but I also in my head know that he lives alone, and I know that he loves to talk, and he's probably lonely, so I got all this stuff going on in my secret self. When Celia jumps off her chair, runs down to the sidewalk, and says, hey, come join us on the porch. And I was, okay. And he smiles and walks up, sets up a chair, and sits down. And there was a moment of panic in myself, like, I don't know how to say no, but I'm late, and ugh. And as it was happening, I felt this criticism and frustration and anxiety. I also felt the other invitation. And it was nothing special. I just felt like God was saying, you will be okay. And I can give you what you need and enjoy being with him. And when it's time to go, you can tell him. So I backed off, and that's what happened. He sat with us for 10 minutes, chunks of food fell on his shoes, and he was okay with it. And I trusted God to make me okay, despite my fear of being late, despite feeling like a failure that I can't get my kids' places on time sometimes, and all the other just anxiety going on inside of me. And when I told him that we needed to go, and we wished each other happy mornings, he ended with this: "Thanks for talking. I don't have a lot of people to talk to." Generosity, man. And I too was actually glad to talk to him. Generosity in such small ways was at work, not forced or false, but just a simple yes that Jesus provided for. And it actually was good. I would love more of that in our lives. You guys want to stand up with me? So I thought that it might be fun to practice one of the disciplines that Dallas Willard does. Remember I said he meditates on the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 23 every morning? And he does it, obviously, because it does good things to his life with God. He's chewing on these words in a way that creates beauty and trust. So I thought, I took the Lord's Prayer, and this is what you guys can do too. You can take those words and put them in your own words so that they digest better, so that you can understand them, so you can meet God closer and maybe easier. So let's do it. If you want to close your eyes, if that helps you to connect with him, if it helps you to put your hands out, you can. But I'm going to slowly read through the Lord's Prayer in some different words. And I want you to pay attention to what he might be saying to you through the words and how he wants to love you even right now. So God, you are right here, and we love you. All the things you want, would they happen? Would heaven happen right here on earth, right among us? Give each of us what we need today. And forgive how we've hurt each other and how we push you away. And we want to forgive people who have hurt us. Don't put us in anything that will crush us. Deliver us from everything bad, because you are the one in charge. And you have all the power. And you have all the glory too. And you have it forever. And that is just the way we want it. We love you. So God, would you show us more of your generosity? Would you help us see your generosity? God, would we be people who let you take care of us? And would you show us how to take care of others? And right now, God, would you come to each of us with your love? And remind us that you are good and you have good things for us. Help us receive from you. I can imagine that there are a few of us in this room that perhaps learned as children that we weren't deserving of things. And I bet that gets away in the way with your life with God. I would love, if you would feel up for it, I would love for people to be able to pray with you about that and about God wanting to give things to you today. And secondly, if you could recognize that you know that you sometimes perform generosity, but it's not from the heart, oh man, that's a beautiful thing to confess. And we would love if you wanted to get prayer about that, or if you wanted to just worship in that, or talk to somebody about it. I don't know, prayer, we can do this, and it's a way to carry on the good thing that God is starting. So actually, if the ministry team wants to come down, we can start praying about some of the things and just meet with God more. Thank you for coming today.